Well, good morning. It's a joy for us to be able to be here again this morning. And as Pastor Mark was saying, it's a privilege to have you guys have welcomed our family this year especially. We love coming to Ritson Road. This is one of our favorite places to come. And you've been so good to us and welcoming us as families. We've been living in the Oshawa area while we're home this year. My voice sounds a little bit different. I brought the frog in my throat with me this morning. And so I apologize. I hope that's not going to be a distraction to you this morning. I'll be drinking lots of water just to get me through the message. But I didn't want to cancel. I wanted to be here and to share with you what God has been doing with all of your giving and all of your praying the last 4 years. But before I get into that, I do want to say, first of all, just thank you so much. As Mark kind of already prefaced it, Pastor Mark prefaced it, on behalf of, I think it's over 211 full-time workers, international workers with the Christian Missionary Alliance, when you give to the Global Advance Fund, you help make it possible for us to represent you to these different countries around the world. And so I just want to say thanks so much on behalf of us as a family. Some of you work hard at jobs you love. Some of you work hard at jobs you really don't like. But you do it because you need an income, and then you tithe that and you give that to the Global Advance Fund in order for us to be able to do what God has called us to do. So thank you so much for standing with us these last 4 years. Thanks for giving and praying and encouraging us. That really means a lot. And the video and then what you're going to hear this morning is an answer to what you guys have been praying for and giving towards. So it's exciting for me to be here this morning to give you a little bit of an update on that. For those of you that are new to the church, during the past 4 years, our family has been serving in Thailand, living in Thailand since 1999. And we've done a number of different ministries with the CMA. For the first 13 years or so, we were involved primarily with Thai ministries, all the way from discipling people in a local Thai church to training leaders kind of around the country. But the last 4 years, God led us down to the southern area of the country, to the island of Phuket, which is that little yellow kind of dot down there near the bottom part of your screen. And we went there to relaunch a work in southern Thailand. We went there to start up an international church for the some 20,000 foreigners that live in that on that island year-round. And as Bonnie shared, that kind of rotate through. And praise God, when we left this past June, we left a church, All Nations Church Phuket, of about 100 people that didn't exist before we came. And so thanks for, that was a part of, you guys had a part in doing that. And so thanks so much for your part in that. If you've been a part of a church for any length of time, you've probably heard people like myself come and talk about sharing the gospel message to different countries and people groups around the world. You've probably heard stories of people in Africa and Asia and Latin America who have chosen to put their faith in Jesus Christ and how God has changed their life as a result of that. And you've heard about the statistics of peoples who have not yet heard the gospel story. And most likely you've even heard someone to be able to come and to challenge you to consider leaving Canada and to go to one of those countries for a period of time and be involved in sharing the gospel. Well, as you've listened to those stories and perhaps heard those challenges, maybe you found yourself asking yourself this question: should I go or should I stay? Meaning, should I leave Canada and go to one of these areas and join God in what he's doing there? Or should I stay here in Canada and help others to be able to go instead? Any of you ever asked yourself that question? Well, I do want to share some statistics and some stories with you this morning. And I am going to challenge you to consider leaving Canada for a period of time and to go to one of these countries and to be involved with sharing the gospel. So you can be thinking about that as I talk this morning. But before I do that, I want to give you three reasons why you should consider going instead of staying. But before I do that, I want to pray for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here to this place right now in this season in our life. And Father, as I unpack this topic of should I go or should I stay, Lord, really there's only two options for the person who is a believer and a follower of God in his ways. We're either led by you to go to these places, or you lead us to help others to be able to go. So Lord, I just pray that in these moments right now, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of our hearts and to show us what part you would have us to play in this. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. God got my attention about world missions back in 1988, during my last year of high school. During that last year, I heard a number of speakers speak on this missions theme throughout that year. Before that, I had never considered the idea of becoming a missionary or an international worker. I was studying law at the time and was quite content about that as my career choice. But at the same time, I couldn't deny what God had begun to stir and do in my heart during that last year. You see, he was getting my attention about this thing called missions and slowly building a burden within my heart for it. Then on May 1st, at the end of a message on missions, I responded to an invitation by the speaker. He invited those who are willing to serve God overseas to come to the front as an indication to God of their willingness to be able to go. Now, I didn't know at the time if that's what God's will was for me, was to go overseas, if God's will for me was to go overseas. But I went forward. I told God I was willing to go if that's what he wanted me to do. A number of years ago, my mom asked me this question. Why do you need to go? There are lots of people here in Canada who have never heard the gospel. Ever heard that before? Well, what she said is true. There are lots of people here in Canada who have never heard the story of Jesus and had a chance to respond to it. There is a great need here in Canada. But in answering this question, I think it's better to look at the issue from the viewpoint of opportunity instead of need. You see, there's need everywhere. I was looking on the internet because Google knows all things, right? And Google told me that there are approximately 7.5 billion people on the earth right now. And Google also told me that there's approximately 2.2 billion people that have chosen to put their faith in God and believe in God and follow his ways. Now, I'm not sure the statistics on the number of people who have actually heard the story of Jesus but said, no, not for me. But if I were to be conservative about that, I would say that number is probably between 1 to 2 billion people, okay, that have heard the story and said, no, not for me, no thanks. So if I've done my math correctly, you know, 7.5 minus 2.2 minus 1 to 2, that still leaves about 3 to 4 billion people on this planet that have yet to hear the gospel in a language that they can understand it and have a chance to respond to it. So folks, there's need everywhere, right? But the issue is not need. The issue is access to the gospel. Here's the first reason why we should consider going and telling the story of Jesus to people of a different country or different culture. There is less opportunity for people to hear the story of Jesus there than there is here in Canada. Now, I'm very thankful to God for allowing me to be born in this country. I'm thankful to my parents who brought me to church since I was a very young age, where I could hear about God's love for me and his desire to be in a relationship with me. Well, fast forward that to today. Since we arrived back here in Canada, since last June, I have been amazed at the number of churches that I've seen in this country. Whether that's in Calgary, Alberta, or here in the greater GTA area, there are a lot of churches in this country. Now, the great thing about that is this, is you don't need to walk very far in order to find a church in hopes of someone there being able to tell you about God's love for you and his desire to be in a relationship with you. You don't have to travel very far to do that. Now, I suppose that we could say that some churches are more effective and more engaged in sharing the story of Jesus than other churches are. But the point is this, in many areas of the world, there is people have a lot less opportunity to find another Christian, let alone another church that is within easy traveling distance of where they live. In Canada, we have access to Christian television programs, don't we? Like 700 Club and 100 Huntley Street. We have access to radio stations that play Christian music, 100.3, right? And we can go to these Christian bookstores, such as Faith Bookstore out in Scarborough area, where we can get Bibles or other literature that tells us about God and God's desire to be in a relationship with us. But folks, there are many cities in many countries around the world that people don't have that access to. In fact, in the whole northeastern part of Thailand, there is one store that I know of for 22 million people. And that store has about 100 books in it. That's it. There are still many areas, many cities around the world that people don't have access to the same kind of things that we have here in Canada. And that's one of the reasons why we left Canada 18 years ago, to go to a country of 70 million people. And yet, less than 1% of those people believe in God and follow God's ways. And that is after 150 years of missionaries being in that country. I'll get to why that is in just a moment. I want you to look at a map of Thailand in just a moment. It's going to show you the growth of the church in Thailand. And what I want you to notice two things. First of all, I want you to notice how God has grown the church since the early 1800s, or late 1800s, and that's the exciting part. And you'll see that with all these little yellow dots that represent, each yellow dot represents one church. And then, I also want you to notice is that there are large gaps in that country where the church has yet to be planted. Let's look at those together. So as you can see from this map, on the red and yellow and orange colors, that's where the church has been established. And that's more than in the northern part of the country. We have a lot of hill tribes up there. If you were to figure, Thailand looks like the profile of an elephant. Does that kind of make sense to you with the trunk kind of hanging down here? Right where the mouth would be, that's where the city of Bangkok is. And that's also a highly densely populated area of churches. But you can notice in the northeast, 22 million people, very few churches in that part of the world. And then all the way down south here as well. One of the blessings about working in Thailand is that all the religions are protected under the monarchy in that country. This means that we have almost total freedom to share the story of Jesus with whoever we want, wherever we want in the country. But folks, that's not the case in many of the other countries that surround Thailand. You see, Thailand is located in Southeast Asia, and it's surrounded by Laos on the east side, Burma on the north side, and Vietnam further on the east as well. All three of these countries don't have the same freedom and access to the gospel that we have in Thailand. Now, Malaysia, down to the southern part, is predominantly a Muslim country. And there is some freedom there, but there are also certain restrictions there as well that make it difficult for the gospel to freely be presented in that country. So many international workers have to start up businesses, or they go and teach English as a means of getting into the country, and then they look for creative ways to have spiritual conversations with the people who come and buy their products or attend their classes. Some people have referred to the Apostle Paul as the first missionary or international worker. And in the first century AD, God recruited Paul to take the gospel story to primarily non-Jewish peoples living in the countries of Italy, Greece, Turkey, and Syria. Paul would travel to these cities and stay for a few weeks or a few months and then share the story of Jesus with anyone who would listen to him. Well, at one time in his journeys, he was in the city of Ephesus, Turkey. And while he was there, he recorded these words for us that we see in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 9. So he's writing about Ephesus, and this is what he says in 1 Corinthians. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. This is exactly how we feel about our work in Thailand, about living in Thailand. That there's a wide open door for God to do a great work in this country, but there are many forces at work within that country that make the spread of the gospel very difficult. You see, we may have the freedom politically to share the gospel anywhere we want, but there are huge social, cultural, and religious obstacles that we need to overcome in order for Thai people to be able to hear the story of Jesus. That's why the number of Christians is so low in that country, even after 150 years worth of missionaries being there. I want to pause just for a couple minutes and just share with you a little bit about some of the obstacles that we face there. This is the flag of Thailand. As you can see, there are five horizontal lines and three colors, blue, white, and red. Each one of those things represent a different aspect of Thailand. Now, the blue, it represents the monarchy. You see, we have a constitutional monarchy, much like there is in England. Now, we have a king. Now, he has no political power, but he exerts great influence in that country. And one of the most significant events that happened these past 4 years in Thailand was that the king of Thailand passed away. He died. You may have seen that on the news. He ruled Thailand for over 70 years and died of natural causes at the age of 88, about a year ago last October. And the whole country has been in mourning for the whole last year. If you're a government worker, you wore black the whole year. That was the only color you wore, as showing deference to the king and in mourning for him. Now, the king is viewed by Thai people as being kind of like the unofficial father of Buddhism, which is the main religion in that country. In fact, if the king were to choose to want to believe in God and follow God's ways, he would probably have to give up the throne as a result of that. Well, in Asian societies, I don't know how much you know much about Asian societies, but in Asian societies, the father is a very important person, okay? And if you're in an Asian culture, you need to show respect and honor to the fathers in families and stuff. It's a very big deal. If you show dishonor or disrespect to a father, that's a huge cultural no-no. Well, if a Thai person wanted to believe in God and follow him, it is viewed by some Thai people as they are turning their back on their father in order to follow God and God's ways. Because remember, the king is seen as kind of the father, official, unofficial father of Buddhism. And you know, if you're a good Asian person, you just don't turn your back on your father. You don't just cut off your father. Well, the white in the flag represents Buddhism. Now, for a Thai person, their ethnic identity, okay, who they are as a Thai person, and their religious identity as a Buddhist are intertwined, okay? They're kind of both one and the same thing. Really hard to separate the two of them. In fact, there's a saying in Thailand that goes like this: to be Thai is to be Buddhist. Okay? So if you're a Thai person, you're Buddhist. And it's almost impossible to separate those two things. So even if we were to come along as a missionary or an international worker, and we can tell them that, you know, you can choose to follow any religion you want. Because you're like in Canada, right? You can choose to follow any religion here, right? You can be Buddhist, you can be Hindu, you can be Muslim. And it doesn't change the fact that you're Canadian, right? It doesn't make you any less Canadian, whatever religion you follow. But that is a very difficult thing for a Thai person to understand. They can't get that you can follow Jesus, and yet I don't cease to be a Thai person as a result of that. Because to be Thai is to be Buddhist. Well, the red in the color represents the peoples of Thailand, and more specifically the soldiers who fought for Thailand's independence. What you may not know is this: Thailand is the only country in Southeast Asia that has never been colonized by a Western power. You see, on the map there, you've got, I don't have it on a map, you'll see again, you've got Cambodia and Vietnam and Laos. They were all ruled by France at one time. And Malaysia, Burma, and Hong Kong, they were all ruled by Great Britain at one time. But Thailand is the only country in that cluster that has never been colonized by a Western power. That's something that the Thai people are very proud of. Here's the point. What's significant about this is Thai people view Christianity as being a Western religion because it was brought by Western missionaries from Europe, okay? And so these Western missionaries came over to Thailand and said, we want you to believe in God and follow God's ways. And they're thinking to themselves, okay, wait a second. So if this is a Western religion and you serve a Western God, if I, as a Thai person, want to believe in God and follow God's ways, that means I have to submit myself to a Western God. Well, I'm a Thai person. You know, we've been independent all of our history. Why would I want to submit myself to a Western power, a Western God? What's interesting, though, is the fact that Christianity is actually, if you were to be specific about it, it's really a Middle Eastern religion. It's not a Western religion whatsoever. And God is a God of all the nations. He's not a God of just a God of the West. Again, very difficult for a Thai person to understand. Well, despite these obstacles, God has provided a wide open door for the gospel to be presented throughout the country of Thailand. One of the most exciting things that happened these last 4 years was our church was involved with the Celebration of Love Festival in partnership with the Billy Graham Association. Now, what the Celebration of Love is this, is it's a chance, it's a series of meetings where Thai people and foreigners can come and hear about God's love for them and to choose to believe in God and follow God's ways. And it was exciting to be a part of this because both the Thai churches and the foreign churches gathered together to be a part of this one event. What was interesting about this was this. A number of years ago, God gave a vision to one of the Thai pastors in Phuket. And he had a vision that he wanted to see 10% of the population of Phuket believe in God and follow God's ways. Now, the present population of Phuket is about 300,000, just Thai people alone. Foreigners, another 20,000. Burmese, you got almost up to 100,000 Burmese there. They're praying for 10% of the people of Phuket to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if I do my math correctly, 10% of 300,000 is what? 30,000. The Thai church right now, there's about 30 churches in the whole island of Phuket. And the total church population in Phuket right now is about 3,000 to 4,000 people. The largest gathering that the churches have ever had is about 5,000 people. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but to go from 3,000 to 30,000, that takes an awful lot of faith, wouldn't you say? That's what they're believing and trusting God for. In fact, these meetings are going to happen this next December. They were supposed to happen this year, but because of the king's death, they had to postpone another year. They are trusting God to bring forth 20,000 people each night to these meetings, when the largest ever gathering was like 5,000 people. Folks, great faith that these people are venturing into. So as God brings maybe Thailand to your minds over this next year or so, would you be praying for this event, that God would be preparing the churches and the people for a great outpouring of his Holy Spirit? Should you go or should you stay? You should consider going because less people have the opportunity to hear there than they do here. Here's the second reason. Because of this little book. Because your Canadian passport opens doors for you. Now, I realize that what I'm about to say here may not be politically correct, but this is kind of how the world works. So let me explain. Remember, I'm talking about access here, okay? The fact that you are from Canada gets you entry into places and settings that many peoples around this world would never get a chance to be a part of. I've had a number of opportunities to travel in a number of countries around the world over the last 20 years or so. And everywhere I go, when I get in conversations with local people that live in that country, you know, they ask, oh, yeah, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Canada. I hear this all the time. Man, we love Canadians. How about that? I don't know if any of you have traveled and stuff and you've ever heard that before. It's like, well, people of different countries, they love Canadians. I don't know what it is about us Canadians that people love. Is it our coffee, our Tim Hortons coffee? Maybe it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know, it's quite possible. Maybe it's because we just apologize for stuff all the time, I don't know. But for some reason, people love Canadians. As Canadians, we get access and acceptance into countries that people of other countries would never get into. You see, as a Canadian, you represent wealth, education, progress, and knowledge. All of these things, many of the countries around the world are looking for and dying to have. And you have them simply because you were born in this country or you were raised here since an early age. You see, in Thailand, you can get a job in almost any Thai school anywhere in the country simply because you're a native English speaker from Canada. One of the things I did in Phuket this last 4 years is I worked as a volunteer with the Royal Thai Police Force. And I worked with these group of volunteers that would resolve issues between foreigners and local Thai people. Whether it was a dispute over the damage done to a rented motorcycle, an inflated bar tab, or a missing passport, that does happen, or a pickpocketed passport, which happens as well. This group uses their native language skills to kind of resolve issues between Thai people and foreigners. Well, we had volunteers from many countries around the world, and I served as one of the Thai translators for this group because most of the people couldn't speak Thai that were part of our group. And so what I would do is I would meet with the colonel of the police department, and our volunteers would give a report every month to the colonel. And then I would go to these meetings, and I would translate the report into Thai, and then the colonel would speak to me in Thai, and I'd back translate into English for the volunteers. Through those connections, I actually got to meet the governor of Phuket as well. A good friend of mine, Dwight Martin, grew up in Thailand, where his parents served as missionaries back in the 1950s. And he remembers a time when the king of Thailand came to his village where his parents lived. And what was interesting was when the king came to his village, he had heard that there was an American family that was living there. And he asked if the wife of that household could make some American food for him. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. The king of Thailand comes to your village, perhaps once in a lifetime. There are thousands of other Thai people that live in that village. Why would the king choose to come to your household and not to any of the other Thai people living there? Simply because they were the only foreigners living in that village. It gave them access because of where they came from. And probably because the king wanted to try some American food. I think she made him a sandwich or something. Folks, in many countries around the world, missionaries or international workers are ascribed special status. In fact, in one of our previous ministries, I traveled throughout the country and helped to train Thai leaders in churches. And what was amazing about this was that most of the pastors that I worked with and coached and taught and mentored were like 10 to 20 years older than I was and had about that much more ministry experience than I had. And I often wondered to myself, why was it that these Thai pastors and students and leaders and stuff would listen to what I had to say? You know, many of them had twice as much experience in ministry and were like twice as old as I was. And, you know, in an Asian context, you know, age is a big deal and stuff. So why would they listen to what I had to say? It didn't matter that I was significantly younger than them or I had less experience in ministry. They accepted me and listened to me simply because I was an educated missionary from Canada who could speak their language. Folks, all that to say this. God can use the fact that you come from a great country like Canada to open doors for you to be able to make a spiritual impact on the lives of other people. All because you were born here. Should you go or should you stay? You should consider going because less people have the opportunity to hear there than they do here. And you should go because your Canadian passport opens doors for you. And here's the third and the last reason. Simply because you can. Because you can. I grew up in the suburbs of Toronto. I was born in Scarborough, but I lived in Markham all of my life. That's where I grew up. And when I was a child, I wasn't sure of what I wanted to be when I grew up. You remember that as a child? You think, oh, yeah, what do I want to do when I grow up? Well, the first thing that I figured out that I wanted to do when I grew up was I wanted to be a marine biologist. That was the first thing I wanted to do. Why? Because how cool would it be to, like, ride and train dolphins? Anyone? That would be an awesome job, right? That's what I wanted to be. Well, as I got into high school, I developed a love for studying law. And I took as many courses as I could. It was back in the days when we had OAC, so grade 11, 12, and OAC, every law course I could. I was accepted at York University and was already looking at going on to Osgoode Law School afterwards. Folks, growing up, I just assumed that I would probably finish university and get a job in a law firm in the greater GTA. I had never even considered the possibility of living and working overseas in a different country. It simply wasn't on my radar list of possibilities. That was 30 years ago. Now, fast forward to today. You know what's interesting, folks? This is what's interesting. You can do almost any job that you do in Canada in a different country around the world. Did you know that? What you are doing now here and what you're studying to do, you can do in a different country, just like you could do here in Canada. And you can use your job to look for opportunities to make a spiritual impact on the lives of other people, whether that's foreigners or local people. Now, you may not sense God's calling to do full-time church work. That's okay. But you can do the same job that you're doing here in Canada, in Africa or Latin America or in Asia, almost any job. Not every job, but almost any job. In fact, there are some countries in which there is limited access that I can't even get into to do church work. But because you have a degree in teaching or you've got IT skills, you can get into countries that I couldn't get into either. The doors are wide open for someone who wants to work outside the church, maybe teaching English in a school or working in a hospital or a hotel or some kind of business. In All Nations Church Phuket, we had a number of single people in their 20s and 30s that were teaching at one of the 5 international schools in that country. But you might be thinking, well, I'm not single. I've got a family. Well, folks, we even had a family from Finland that had 2 young kids that were teaching at one of the international schools as well. We have people in our church that were involved in one of the hotels. They either served in guest relations or the IT department, or they sung as a member of one of the bands that played in the hotels. We had a family that had their own construction company in the country that were part of our church. We even had a family that we had people involved in the dive shops. That was a big thing in Phuket, as well as teaching English as well. We even had a number of people that worked with community development projects, all the way from helping kids to rescue them out of getting sold as sex slaves, to working with the prostitutes and rescuing them out of the bars. Folks, the point is this. The possibilities are as vast and as varied as what you would find in Canada. So why not leave Canada for a few years and work in a different country and get involved with sharing with local people there or foreigners about God's love for them and how they can have a relationship with him? Why not? I was reminded of some words of the Apostle Paul that he spoke. He wrote these words to a group of Christians living in Italy, Rome, or Rome, Italy, right? That's the other way around. In Rome, Italy, a number of years ago. These words are recorded for us in the book of Romans 10, verses 13 to 15. This is what they say. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. The point of these verses is this. In order for someone to choose to believe in God and follow him, someone needs to be willing to go and to tell them. So what I'm saying is this. Go if you can. Go if you can. Now, as I say that, some of you might be thinking, well, shouldn't God kind of call me to do this? Well, I wonder if sometimes we interpret God's calling as some kind of mystical experience where God meets us in this really powerful, special kind of way. Now, he does do that some of the time. But I think for the majority, for most people, it's a little bit more subtle than that. That same calling or leading from God can come through simply reading a passage in the Bible about God's heart for the world. And it's almost like the words on that page just kind of jump out at you and resonate within your soul. Or maybe it's through a song that you hear. Or maybe it's through a dramatic presentation or a speaker that's speaking about missions. What is important is not the terminology that we use to describe it. But what is important is this. Do we sense God leading us to do this or not? That's really the important question. So as we consider whether we should go or not, we really need to lean into God and to pray to him and seek his face and to see God. God, do you really want me to be involved in this? Because that's what you need. You need to know an answer to that question. Well, I told you at the beginning of my message that I would give you an opportunity to respond at the end of it. And in just a moment, I'm going to play a worship song that most of you know. It's called God of the City. But what you may not know is that this song, God of the City, was inspired by a group called Blue Tree from Europe. I think they're from Ireland, actually. And they wrote the words of this song while they were on a missions trip in Thailand. They were in the city of Pattaya, which is about an hour and 15 minutes southwest of Bangkok. And they were sitting there in that city. Actually, I think they were sitting in a bar or something like that. And they just kind of looked out around them. And they just looked at all the people around them and saw most of these people do not believe in God and follow God's ways. But they also sensed that God still had a heart for all these lost people. The words of this chorus go like this: greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Folks, God is not finished with Phuket, Thailand. He's not finished yet with Baku, Azerbaijan, or Niamey, Niger, or Mexico City, Mexico. There are still many people who have yet to hear about the story of Jesus and have a chance to respond. So, I want to simply ask you the same question that was asked of me 29 years ago. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to leave Canada for a period of time to go to a different country and to be involved with sharing God's love with the people who are living there? If you are, then I simply want to ask you, and I simply want to invite you to come and stand with me at the front of the sanctuary here during the time that this song is going to be played in just a moment, as simply an indication to God, God, I'm willing to go if that's what you want me to do. Now, let me say this. If you choose to come forward, you're not going to be signed up for anything. So don't worry about that, okay? But I do believe that sometimes when we respond in a physical way, it has a way of kind of cementing decisions that we make. I know that was the case for me 29 years ago. I still remember the day sitting at that back part of the church with the other youth at the time, and I remember getting up and walking down to the front, saying, God, I don't understand what's going on here. I don't know if this is your will for my life. But I'm simply coming saying, God, I'm willing to go if that's what you want for my life. So, if you are willing to make that same kind of commitment, then I simply ask you to come and stand with me at the front during the time that the song has been played. Now, some of you may have responded to an invitation like this in the past, and I would simply invite you to come again, just kind of as a way of saying, God, I'm still here, I'm still willing to go if that's what you want for my life. Now, I recognize that some of you here this morning are not able to go for whatever reason, and that's okay. Don't consider yourself second class in any way. But maybe, just maybe, you want to have more of a part in helping to send other people to go this next year than what you did this year. Maybe you want to pray more for those who are going and preparing to go than what you did this last year. And maybe you want to give by faith more this next year than what you did this previous year to global missions. If maybe you would like to make that kind of a commitment, or maybe even it's just encouraging others to be able to go, then I would simply invite you to come as well and to stand during the time the song is being played. As simply as an indication saying to God, God, I want to have more a part in helping other people to go than what I did this last year. Does that make sense? Kind of nod your head if you're with me there. You haven't fallen asleep yet? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to play this song. And then as this song is being played, that's an opportunity for you to respond if you'd like to do that. Just come and join with me at the front. Then after the song is over, I'm going to turn it over to Ron for our benediction. We'll close out our service this morning. Okay? Let's listen to that song together.